So tonight's talk is on abundance. And some of you know that one of the first teachings the Buddha offered was on generosity. And I can imagine that some of that might have come from his process and experience of becoming awakened and when he sat under the Bodhi tree. And he had a night full of his own demons, his own hindrances, his own fears and insecurities. And when the morning came, he was still there. And in that process, he became awakened. And his commitment to the bodhicitta vows of all beings will be awakened, and I vow to be part of that process. That's a very honoring and humbling and powerful gift to give others. And he did that for the rest of his life until his last breath. And so tonight I'm going to start off with asking different people, popcorn style, what abundance means. So you can just say a word here or there. And this is part of an experiment that I'd like you to participate in, for those who choose to. So the word is abundance. And what does that mean to you?
Enough.
A lot.
A lot. Someone over here?
Love.
Good food.
Breathing.
Come in.
Plentiful. Thank you.
Comfortable.
Joy.
Expansive. Joy, expansive, satisfied.
Security.
Sufficiency.
Okay, maybe one more.
No worrying.
This is just a thought, but I was wondering if maybe most of us were in older end of the age spectrum, and I'm just thinking that part of our definitions have come from those experiences in life where we've had some opportunities to experience what's the most important, and that those definitions are based on that. Just a thought. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say one of these words. And what I'd like you to do is just, in that moment, think of an experience or a moment. Yes?
Could you speak a little louder?
Yes, sir, I can. Thank you. You can just go like this. Trust me, I won't be offended. So, as I was saying, I'm going to repeat some words. And what I'd like you to do is, in the moment, after the word is said, if you can reflect on a moment or an experience of that, and then I will go to the next word. And it's okay if you don't come up with an example. Maybe you just sit with, what does that feel like to hear that word? What comes up for you, or what do you notice? You don't have to define it. You don't have to interpret it. You don't have to make sense of it. It's what just is. Okay? All right. No worrying.
Vacation.
Good food.
San Francisco.
Good friends.
Delight.
So in this exercise, I would like you to just hear the word and just notice what arises. I did write those two words down, but this is more for a silent reflection. Thank you. We could do good food again. friends. Enough. Plentiful. Joy. Satisfied. Expansive. Security. Breathing. No worry. Vacation. A lot. Gratitude. Appreciation. Generosity. Love. Make it a habit to think that all of your actions of body, speech, and mind will be done for the benefit of others. Cultivate the aspiration to attain enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings, and nurture this precious, altruistic intention as dearly as a mother cares for her child. And that's a quote from Lama Zopa, Zopa Rinpoche. So what does abundance mean? Having enough, being able to share, being grateful, appreciation. But what gets you there to be able to understand that? We have many examples in the teachings of the Buddha and the Dharma that talk about the Four Noble Truths, for example. And you go from recognizing there's suffering to there's an end to suffering, and that there's a cause, and that there are ways to live your life, to be in places of really appreciating what you have. And there's also the part of the teachings that have to do with ethics and morality, which are the precepts, and again, the Eightfold Path. So these guidelines can be like an ethical framework that contributes to abundance. So what matters? What's important? What do you value? Khalil Gibran says, "You pray in your distress and in your need. Would that you might also pray in the fullness of your joy and your days of abundance." To be grateful. to appreciate is another way to cultivate and reinforce abundance. Not so much, look what I have, but thank you for what I have. Whether it's the little or it's much, there's a genuine appreciation for that, which is also appreciation for living and for life. And Deepak Chopra says, in our willingness to give that which we seek, we keep the abundance of the universe circulating in our lives, which is about the interconnection of all life and the relationships that we have with one another and with everything around us. And how do we continue to cultivate and appreciate that in spite of the suffering in the world, and in spite of the suffering of the land, and all the other things we can name and list that are real, whether they affect us directly or indirectly, there is a place for hope. There is a place for faith, and to cultivate an appreciation for what we have. For anyone who's traveled abroad and has gone to countries that are very poor, the definition of poor is so profound compared to how we might have it in our mind's eye coming from the lens of the United States. And then when we're abroad and we get to see it in all its starkness and all that is, from the maiming of physical bodies to the desperation in people's eyes as they ask for help, and the feeling of, what else can I do? What else? What else? And it seems like it's never enough. And then we get to come home. And then we look at the places that we are in our home. And some of us have many spaces, many rooms, and some of us don't. And then we compare, for the lack of a better word, when we think back to what we just seen in our travels, and then we're home, and what we have. Is there a way that you can appreciate even more and be grateful for what you have? And maybe not be about so much, I want more, I need more. And I think depending on where you are in your lifespan, I find the older I get, the less that matters. I'm not real interested in what else I can have. I'm more interested in how do I live my life with dignity and respect for all life, even when it's painful to look at or feel or be around. There is something humbling in those lessons. And I wonder when the Buddha would go to the many different places that he would go, how he would present the suffering. And then the appreciation of having gratitude. Because he finally got an opportunity to experience old age, illness, and death. And maybe this is where we have an advantage. Not necessarily on him, but just life. But some of us have experienced all of that. And then it's like, and what is left? And what else is there? So it can be an appreciation for how do I want to live the rest of my life as it is. We understand about impermanence. Everything changes. There's no guarantees for anything. So that's impermanence. So how do we hold impermanence in relationship to abundance? Can we have abundance and understand that everything changes? I can't snap my fingers, or I would snap them and say, in the quickness of an eye, that's how it happens. The abundance of life is unlimited. It expands with the generosity, compassion, and inventiveness and service that you contribute. Jonathan Lockwood Huey. So what do you do? What do you offer in your life, in your daily activities of living? How is generosity and compassion reflected for you? So it comes, when we look at the Eightfold Path, then we're looking at, well, how do I manifest abundance? How do I appreciate it? How do I acknowledge it? What causes me to turn away? What causes me to embrace? It starts with Eightfold Path, your thoughts, your views, your intentions, your actions. It gets manifested in your actions. Someone might say, oh, she's so generous or he's so generous, because they always have time for someone else. They have this amazing heart. And sometimes it may be, I envy that because I don't have it. And I'm working towards it, but I don't have that. And I just admire, how do you do that? What kind of skills do you bring to the table for that? And I'm over here like, oh, I got a ways to go. Such a teacher, such a practice. This poem by Lucille Clifton, she used to be, at one point was the poet laureate in, I think, Washington, D.C., African-American woman poet who's passed away. And she says, this is called The Lesson of the Falling Leaves. The leaves believe such letting go is love. Such love is faith. Such faith is grace. Such grace is gold. I agree with the leaves. To sit in awe and appreciate the abundance of that, and then be able to articulate it in a way that brings a smile in hearing it, is a form of abundance, a contribution to the potential of possibilities. I am the master of my emotions. I transfer fear to love, anger to compassion, pain to comfort, scarcity to abundance, expectation to gratitude, and jealousy to generosity. That's also a quote by Jonathan Lockwood Huey. How do you transform scarcity to abundance? How do you experience going from feeling like there's a lack of or not enough to I have all the riches in the world? And they may not be tangible. They can be what you carry in your heart and what's reflected through your understanding of the Dharma and the teachings of the Buddha. So then we have these precepts. And whenever you go on retreat, we take the precepts. And they are I call them a moral, you know, columns. You know, like in Greek and Roman days, they had those columns. I forgot what they're called, Doric columns. And they're like pillars, and they're like bookends. It's like, okay, so I have these pillars that surround me. And when I go on retreat, I take these precepts. I vow to honor and respect and cultivate these precepts. Not only for my own well-being and safety, but for the well-being and safety of all others. There's a richness in that. There's a way that abundance is just saying, I'm here. Notice me. Look what you might discover. How does that relate to a retreat on concentration? How do I cultivate abundance so that my focus is very clear and I can extend it to the well-being of all others? That's a practice. So this cultivation of generosity is truly a gift. Just for the next few minutes, I want you to turn to someone and give them an example of a recent experience where you had experienced generosity and when you gave it to someone. Just turn to someone and just think of a time. Take a moment and thank the person. And so now I would like you to let your eyes close. We're wrapping up. We're wrapping up now. Cats. This is cats. Okay. So what I'd like you to do now is just take a moment and let your eyes close gently. And just, if you can, be in touch with how it felt. Not so much the content, but how it felt. And what was the sharing like as you told your story? And what was the sharing like as you heard someone else's story? Just notice. Exchange, that appreciation, the smiles that were shared, the memories, the abundance of possibilities. Now maybe a few of you, you're welcome to open your eyes. You can share one word. Describe that. And I'm going to be writing these down. So,
mudita.
Mudita.
Which is what? Joy?
Sympathetic joy.
Yes.
Sympathetic.
Others?
Light.
Light. Yes.
Richness.
Richness.
Deep appreciation.
Deep appreciation.
Ease. Gratitude.
Good fortune.
Connection.
Thank you.
Release.
And more.
Homecoming.
Yes. Thank you. something we did earlier. I'm going to repeat the words, and I just want you to notice how they land. You're welcome to let your eyes close, or you can just sit with them open. Mudita. Light. Richness. Deep appreciation. Ease. Good fortune. Connection. Homecoming. You're welcome to open your eyes if you like. You can lead if you serve. You can serve when you can love. You can love when you are graced. And that's by a quote by Israel Moore. So is there differences from when you first did the exercise and you gave definitions of abundance and now sharing these definitions? Are there possibilities open to you that might not have considered before? And how do you hold that? Is part of your definition of abundance to serve, which is part of the bodhicitta vow, if that's the choice you want to make. What if you're not ready to do this? There is a difference between selfishness and being self-absorbed. What if your heart's not open right now to receive or give in that way? Can you be with that? And be kind to yourself, knowing you're in a challenging place right now? That abundance can hold that as well. The potential to heal. The potential to be free, even in the midst of our suffering. Someone mentioned the word homecoming, and I smiled because it's so expansive. It's like, I'm coming home. What's home? How is that defined? Is that a place? There's a book by Zenju Earth Emanuel, who's a Zen priest, an African-American lesbian Zen priest, and it's her most recent book. And it's called Sanctuary. And it's a book about home. Where is home? How do we define it? What does it mean to be homeless? Can we have abundance and be homeless? How are you defining that? So there's so many ways that the Dharma just asks us to think about things and hold them in a different light. Like, oh, I didn't think about it like this. Oh, I didn't know that this was another way to hold it. So there's endless possibilities. Maybe abundance allows you to tap into a sense of what experiences, what the experience may be like of freedom, even if it's in the moment. What does that mean to be abundant? Do I have enough to share? What am I sharing? I think wisdom and discernment come in here as well, because it's important to understand and know how to share and to whom, and what would that look like. So if I was sharing with a 5-year-old, it would be very different than if I was sharing with my granddaughter who's 23. But maybe not. There's more in the Dharma about generosity than there is about abundance. When I was looking up and doing research, the word abundance has a tendency to be associated with wealth and security and financial stability. Not necessarily through the lens of the Dharma, but just the word itself. So if you're a grandmother or an auntie or a parent, then in some ways I'm going to assume that there's been such an abundance through the lives of your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews, and just their way of looking at the world sometimes. It's an opportunity to just say, wow, I didn't think of it like this. So another question could be, and what are you grateful for? Anyone? A word, a phrase?
This life.
This life.
This life.
And others?
Music.
Teachers. Music. Teachers. Teachers.
Love.
Love.
Rain.
Rain.
Rain. Family.
Family and all the drama.
Body and all its aches and pains.
And the body and all its aches and pains.
Remembering.
Remembering. Remembering.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Optimism.
Optimism. So all of these words that you're sharing, there is something in the Dharma that you could reference and it would speak right to that. And that's what's so beautiful about the Buddhist teachings. That there's a way that we can take these teachings and say, oh, this is how I can apply it in my life. Usually it's in hindsight, not when it's happening, right? It's like, oh, right, oh, in hindsight, oh, that's generosity. Oh, that's forgiveness. And then using wisdom and discernment and compassion, I find I'm usually in the hindsight part. But I'm grateful that I can at least make the connection. Mm-hmm. Maybe weeks later. But it's possible. The beauty of abundance is like our practice. It's constant. And we have an opportunity to do it over and over and over. So if I miss the boat, which I usually do, I have an opportunity to catch the next one. Or the next one. And there's this poem I'm going to read, but part of why I'm reading it is because there's so many parts of it that speak to abundance. So it's going to be like a poem kind of pointing out examples kind of thing. And unfortunately, I don't have the author's name, and forgive me for that. And it's called A Poem to Invite the Energy of Abundance. I think that's what it's called. But first, I want to share this phrase. It's from Sonia Sanchez, and she used to be a poet laureate in Philadelphia, an African-American woman writer who's written some amazing poetry. She says, "Walk with me in peace and beauty. Let me wear the day well, so when it reaches you, you will enjoy it." Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. When I saw that, all I did was like, oh, I have to keep that and hold on to it and then share it over and over and over. Sure. Her name is Sonia Sanchez. And she has like a gazillion poetry books out. Walk with me in peace and beauty. Let me wear the day well, so when it reaches you, you will enjoy it. I know. Okay, I'm done. No. Poetry like that just fills me so much. And I just say, here, share this. And, you know, that richness, that fullness. So I'm going to just read some excerpts from this poem because it's 2 pages, too long, but it's wonderful. So it starts off with saying, I want to walk the earth like there are gems waiting to be unearthed. How lovely I imagine it would be if every pair of wings looked like a miracle to me. Hope would live in the breezes and the dirt, and not just in the minds of children and their dreams. They would be new seeds to plant wherever my body happened to go. Everything I threw into the world would be delighted to have me watch it grow. So here are examples of abundance. Here's examples of well wishes. Here's examples of, if I could do this, these are possibilities that would make such a difference. And so this is what I offer. This is my wish. This is my hope. What a rich gift each day would be as I lifted my palms to the sky. My mind open to the moment and my heart open to what next. Where else would I be? My sole task and joy would be to live under the sky, breathing in the essence of this moment, a slice of eternity, living in the reality that I am blessed. Can you hold abundance and feeling blessed simultaneously if you're feeling a lack of, or in a place in your life or in a moment where it feels like despair has decided to just come home, just decided to sit down with you, make itself comfortable, and not leave? It's like, nope, I'm not going anywhere. Nope, I'm going to just make you feel as miserable as possible. That's my job. So how do you hold hope? How do you hold the potential of abundance? And the despair is only going to be here for a minute if you can remember impermanence. Oh, let me just clock this. You're going to be gone in a minute. This is over. We forget that. So sometimes the abundance gets caught up in these places where it feels stuck, or maybe feels hopeless or forlorn or not possible, or you're not worthy, or you don't deserve. I can go down that whole litany, trust me. I have a list. And then there's that potential for it to change. There's faith. There's hope. There's possibilities. There's freedom. I want a life upheld by the animating energy of love that I was bold enough to believe in. And yes, I could now affirm to believe in the endless support of a loving energy. I could allow myself to embrace the unknown, like it was the glue that unites the whole world. In our practice, we're asked to sit with the unknown. We're invited to go to the precipice and trust it and jump into whatever's out there, trusting it's going to be okay. That's a huge and tall order. And for those of us who have lived a few decades may not be so much as we thought. It's trusting what is. It's trusting that I don't know and that it's okay to be in this place of I don't know. And bold enough to believe in it. And affirming the possibility of endless support of a loving energy. Whether we are bestowing it or cultivating for ourselves, or if someone is holding that. I could allow myself to embrace the unknown, like it was the glue that unites the whole world, which maybe in some ways it does. Through the generosity of my trust, I could invite the mystery's guidance to flow. Removing my need to walk the world on my own. Through the generosity of my trust. What does that have to do with abundance? Is there a way that I'm willing to sit with, or you are willing to sit with, trusting the unknown, and it will continue to unfold and teach us mysteries of the Dharma and of the world? Is there something else we can do that we haven't done yet to support and cultivate enough? And that's okay. Enough in how a person needs it in their life. And we may not be the ones to provide that physical enough, but perhaps in our presence or through our action, that invitation, that longing is manifested through our actions. And maybe the person would begin to feel hopeful again or have faith or love. There's so many examples every day that reminds us of suffering and how hard it is to look at things sometimes. And that maybe it's easier to turn away than to face it head on because it hurts so much. And then when it's like that, how do we give ourselves kindness? How do we say, it's okay, this is okay for now. And when I'm ready, I can turn towards it. And for now, I need to turn away. With no judging, and no blaming, beating oneself up. This is a practice of cultivating of abundance. So how do I sit with knowing that maybe I'm not doing enough? And be okay with that. There is in the forgiveness practice that many of you are familiar with, Donald Rothberg created a fourth stanza, and then Larry Yang tweaked it. And it has to do with forgiving ourselves for the suffering in the world and being okay with, may I forgive myself for wanting it to be different and accept that this is enough. That's huge. It doesn't take you off the hook, but it gives you permission to hold the suffering of the world in a different way and forgive yourself for feeling I could do more, but then I can't, and I don't know how. And maybe what you're doing is enough. And how do you cultivate that for yourself? And how do you bring loving kindness to yourself for that, or compassion? Say, this is enough. This is what I can do. So it's the turning towards, and turning away, and coming back, and holding, having it be held in this place of love and possibilities. A place of love is what I crave. A need, I need a place to stay and belong to myself. I need to feel the pool of wisdom in which I swim and listen to the earth's song as though I was basking in an internal hymn. to see myself in all beings, in union with all things, and in harmony with the mysteries. What could my life be but a gift of eternity unto itself? That's a tall word. What could my life be but a gift of eternity unto itself? There's such a selfless offering in that, a richness of gratitude, generosity. Yes, it is so. In the heart of abundance I dwell. There is a wellspring of renewal and support like no other in the deep reservoir of my soul. This will be my life. This is the story I'm here to tell. And what's so wonderful is, if you mess up, you get to do it again. You get to practice it again and again. And this offering it with the intention, because tensions can be so powerful. And you offer, this is my story to tell. This is what I bring to the table. This is how I understand the Dharma. This is how I understand the Buddha. This is how I understand the beloved community. The richness and abundance that is here, that we can continue to cultivate and explore and discover and make mistakes and fall down and get up. And this is abundance, and this is practice, and this is love, and this is freedom. So thank you for your kindness.